Hi, I'm Rick Reynolds, and you're listening to Affair Recovery Radio, Radio to the Power of God. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, sponsors, or advertisers of this station. Due to the sensitive nature of the topics discussed on this program, it is not suitable for children, so we strongly advise that children not be within listening range of this program. Also, please be advised that while we are counselors, what we're doing here tonight is not counseling, and if you have a need, we strongly advise that you seek professional help. The Affair Recovery Center is a community of counseling professionals and couples who have experienced the abundant blessing of reconciliation and renewal. We are dedicated to the restoration of marriages crippled by infidelity. Our mission is to offer hope, support, and recovery for couples and individuals who have suffered the pain as a result of infidelity, betrayal, or sexual addiction. We truly believe there's nothing the nearness of God cannot heal.
Hi, welcome to Affair Recovery Radio tonight, and this is Rick, and it's great to have you guys join us. Wayne and I are here together, Wayne Baker, to discuss issues, and certainly you are welcome to call in if you'd like to call our program tonight. You can call us at area code
512-365-9930.
Thank you.
Please call in. It may be a long night.
Yeah, well, it's the popcorn has just messed with my brain.
Have some more coffee, Rick.
That's exactly right. Again, that's area code 512-365-9930. And you can also email us at rick@hope-now.com. That's rick@hope-now.com if you'd like to email your questions in. Tonight, we thought we would talk about a different topic, but the topic of trauma. Because one of the things that frequently happens when someone goes through an affair, for either the hurt or the unfaithful spouse, is actually there's the possibility that they may actually become traumatized. And so it's an important part of recovery. If you don't understand that, it was interesting this past week, Wayne, I was actually talking to a woman who is almost 2 years down the line, but she said she wakes up every morning with nightmares, feeling just like she did 2 years prior. Mm-hmm. And typically, I mean, I don't know how you would feel about this, but that's a pretty good indication that we've got a problem with another term potentially called post-traumatic stress disorder. Yeah. And, you know, if someone is trying to recover as a couple, if you are traumatized, the problem is it makes it very, very difficult to begin to move forward. So I don't know how, if you would add anything to that.
Well, I'm curious about your couple and other couples that we work with. It seems to me that those that can't work through this a little more, well, not quickly, but on a steady pace. I wonder about previous trauma, like in your client's childhood. That seems to be a big indicator.
Right, and I don't know the answer to that. I just know that when you've got that type of circumstance, it really begins to create a real problem. And so, you know, as we go through tonight, what I would love for you guys to do that are listening this evening, if you have any questions about trauma, if you've experienced what you believe to be trauma, we'd like you to call in and kind of relay your experience, because I think that there's a lot to learn about this particular topic. And in reality, it is a huge piece of what happens for couples recovering from an affair. And it's one that cannot be ignored. I mean, to me, when people say, we'll never be able to get over this, we don't know how to get beyond the pain, a lot of times what you're dealing with is they have no earthly idea how to deal with this trauma.
Yeah, avoidance. That's one of the big things with, like you mentioned, possibly post-traumatic stress disorder, or even if it's not even that, any kind of trauma. Avoidance is one of the things that we do. We think we do it well, but we really don't do it well. It's always going to come back.
What does that avoidance look like when people begin to avoid things?
Yeah, it looks like we kind of go out of our way really to escape these overpowering memories and thoughts, the nightmares and things. We kind of try to push them away. It's we avoid places, situations or people. You know, they avoid just any kind of thoughts or feelings that are associated with the trauma or the incident. In this case, of infidelity, whether it was an actual sexual affair or emotional or pornographic, anything. Also, they get, you know, I see this emotional numbness, you know, so this estrangement and detached from people. Were you going to say something?
Well, I was just thinking isolation frequently, that there's almost, I was actually thinking of the whole concept of reminders.
Yeah.
And so, you know, how do you avoid dealing with sometimes? And I think it's just by hiding out, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think this overwhelming sense, maybe you mentioned it a little bit, of hopelessness and helplessness too.
Yeah, one of the things that we're going to be doing at the affairrecovery.com on our website is we're actually beginning, we're going to be offering a course for trauma beginning hopefully in the next month or two.
Yes.
Wayne is actually responsible for dealing with this course, and that's why we wanted to talk a little bit about that tonight is so that, you know, if you've got an issue with trauma, that we can begin to point that out and maybe give you some pointers on what to do with that. And again, if you've got any questions about trauma, we'd certainly like you to call in tonight to help contribute to this discussion, because this is a about the painful part, or one of the painful parts of affair recovery. So tell us a little bit about your course, Wayne.
Well, if I want to back up just a little bit. The other thing that comes to mind about dealing with trauma, there's two other key aspects, and one of them, along with the nightmares, are these what we call intrusive thoughts, and it's where you have memories really that just kind of come in seemingly out of nowhere and stir up negative feelings and emotions, and like the flashbacks that people talk about, and the nightmares, the emotional and physical triggers. And then the other thing that we do is called hyperarousal. And that's where it looks like feeling jumpy or startled easily, and this really keen, heightened sense of trying to control your environment and control everything around you. And that's why I think you mentioned that I love that one of the things that you do in your course early on is have to deal with the cost right up front of what this has done to me and to the betrayer. And that kind of hopefully gets a little jump start in beginning to deal with some of this stuff.
Well, if I'm dealing, for instance, and I'm going to throw you under the bus on this.
I know. Heads up. I was expecting it.
Okay, good. If I'm dealing with this stuff, like the intrusive thoughts, I guess I'm wondering from a spiritual perspective, does that mean that maybe I don't have enough faith? I mean, isn't God supposed to sit there and rescue me from all of these hard things? I mean, how do you see that? Because, I mean, gosh, you know, I think that if I have enough faith, then maybe I shouldn't have these sorts of problems. Because my understanding with things like trauma or post-traumatic stress disorder, sometimes those are as physiological as they are psychological. Mm-hmm. Is it a lack of faith on my part?
I think that's a good question. I think we get that occasionally too, but I don't think it's a lack of faith. I mean, you know, every situation's different, but you know, Jesus said, I think, and I'm quoting you, quoting him.
Oh boy.
So if I get this wrong, we'll see. But I think it's in John 10, you know, I'm not good about remembering where, but Jesus said, you will have trouble in this life, but take heart, I've overcome the world. I think going back to that, not to be oversimplistic, and this does take time and it is a process, but it is learning to abide in him, even in the midst of walking through infidelity or being a survivor of childhood sexual abuse, you know, all kinds of things. It's there's no quick fix. And I'm skeptical of those. That's
quick fixes on this
one? Oh, yeah. Even the spiritual quick fixes. I know God can move and do things miraculously and very quickly at times. But more often than not, it's a walking it out.
Not meaning to hurt your feelings, but that's John 16:33. But it's close. You're only off by six chapters.
I knew you'd fix me.
But no, that's a...
I'm not a theologian.
No, that's okay. That's a really good point, because I do think that in this world there are going to be trials. And I think depending on how we're raised, like you said, maybe... what are other factors that predispose us to being able to be traumatized?
Yeah, I think in childhood sexual abuse, being a survivor of that is a huge factor in that. I think we both have seen it in the clients that we work with, or even physical abuse or abandonment and neglect. Any kind of abuse that took place during the earlier developmental years, I think, just sets you up a little bit
susceptible?
Susceptible, yeah.
What about family dynamics or any family dynamics that seem to be indicators?
Yeah. Well, I think back along with abandonment and neglect or, abusive alcoholic or controlling parent, one or the other. I think a lot of that can. Divorce, being a childhood, an adult child of divorce can have an indication towards post-traumatic stress disorder. Or I don't want to say that, because I hate that. That sounds like a double victimization of people, but
what do you mean by double victimization? Well, that's going to drive people crazy.
Okay, yeah, that sounds
that's a nice clinical
yeah,
term.
Right, it did sound clinical.
Define that one.
Well, I would say you're already struggling with infidelity, and you've already in being a survivor of adulthood or childhood sexual abuse or any kind of abuse. And now, oh my gosh, here I got one more thing. I've got post-traumatic stress disorder. Just the name of it can feel like one more thing I've got to deal with too.
Well, I mean, is people who are traumatized, does that mean that maybe they're just weak? Because I think that some people are going to think, I must be really weak if I have this type of, if it impacts me like that.
Well, that sounds like the old school dealing with depression too, where I can pull myself up by my bootstraps and get over this thing. And you alluded to, it's a physiological thing many, many, many times as well. It's not just psychological or emotional. There's chemically, dealing with trauma changes the chemical structure of our brain sometime for a season, and maybe even longer seasons for some people.
Say something? I would like to comment.
This is Ronnie, our producer.
I think that little children who are traumatized and they grow into adults and they try to control situations, and that never works because God is in control. So we have to surrender our wanting to control things to Him. And in Christian belief, we are looking to our Savior to save us. And Paul said, work your salvation with fear, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. But I think traumatic experiences that happen in children as an adult, they continue to try to protect themselves the way that they did as children. And it's outdated. By the time you get to be 35, the yelling and screaming or, protecting yourself in ways that ends up hurting you and your family need to be tossed out the window. But the person is unaware before they get the healing that they need. They're unaware that this little scared child is driving the bus.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
Well, I think there's parts of it. Yeah. I mean, we can go back. You think about a young woman that was sexually abused by an uncle or an older man when a traumatic situation like infidelity, if her husband has been unfaithful or she is around that uncle again, she can go back and begin to behave and have the same emotional responses that she did when she was 11 or even younger. So yeah, partly I think so.
I think about a case that I had years ago where the woman came in because she was always hiding. Anytime something bad happened, she would end up going, and it sounds funny, but as a 45-year-old woman, she had hide. And as we were exploring her childhood, it turned out that actually her next-door neighbor, when she was 6 years old, was the wife of a Navy pilot, and they were on the back in the backyard watching him. He had, was doing a flyover, just doing some stunts, and he crashed in her backyard, literally. And she even asked me, she said, I ever tell you about the time the plane crashed in my backyard? And I was like, no. And I said, what did you do? And she said, well, I hid in my closet. And I said, well, that's a great response for a six-year-old girl. And then she stopped and she said, did I tell you about the time the fireworks stand blew up? When she was seven, literally, she was walking down the sidewalk. It had caught on fire, and she's pulling a wagon, and she turned the wagon over and got underneath it. And I said, wow, that's a really good response for a seven-year-old girl.
Yeah.
She said, you know, that same year there was a chemical explosion at a plant. She was down like at Texas City when, in the 50s. And said, three of my uncles were killed. Did I tell you about the time the plant blew up? And I said, no. I said, what'd you do? And she said, I went and hid. I said, man, those are really great responses for a little girl. I said, but they look kind of funny in a 45-year-old woman.
Hmm.
You know, and it, you know, always felt like one of the impacts of her trauma was that it really limited her ability to even know how to respond in the present tense. She couldn't get beyond it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so what did you do to...
Well, for us, one of the things we began to do is ask the question of, well, what type of response patterns does a normal 45-year-old actually begin to have? We just began to kind of behaviorally try some new things. Because, you know, she, of course, she flooded and just couldn't even think. And so I used what tools? I didn't know things like EMDR back then, or, you know, so we just kind of did it the really hard way. And kind of walk through the pain.
Yeah, but that's it. You walk through the pain, and that's the key thing, is not to avoid it, I think.
Right.
Regardless of what therapy you use or something, is walking through it, you know.
Right. And I think that's one of the really tough things, is it there isn't a way of fully avoiding. Okay, so we have Tyler on line one. Tyler, are you there?
Yes, sir.
So, you have a question about trauma or a comment?
Yeah, I guess I have a comment and a question. My wife has had an affair that lasted, I guess, over the course of a year, one point, I guess about 3 months ago now, June 16th, she told me about it. I believe she's repentant. She's, you know, studying the Word every day, and she's definitely seeking to change her life. Her issues go back to her childhood. But my question has to do with my recovery. You know, I never dreamed that my marriage or I would be the victim of infidelity. But it is what it is, and I'm in the military, and I'll be deploying soon. I kind of feel pressured, like I'm on a timeline to recover, and there's times where I feel like my wife is pressuring me to recover. Not directly, but more in a subtle way. She hears from her friends or her support network that, you know, it's been a month, it's been 2 months, it's been 3 months. My gosh, how come it's taken him so long to get over this? And I guess my question is, at what point is post-traumatic stress, because that's something I guess I sort of diagnosed myself as having before I ever read anything on your website about it, at what point does that become PTSD? At what point, if I can't deal with the stress, does it become a disorder? Does that make sense?
Sure. Well, Tyler, first of all, for anybody that's dealing with this, you don't get over it in 30, 60 days. Most people, even without any like we were talking about earlier, childhood trauma. It will take a good 18 months to 24 months for you to completely recover from this. And that's if you're, you know, doing the things you need to be doing, and your wife is working her recovery as well, and that'll be a big thing for you.
Well, she's working her recovery, and I think she's doing very well. I wish this would have been something that she was able to identify and take care of 3 years ago. But when you say working my recovery, what is it that I can be doing? Because, you know, I can pray, I can read the Bible. On an intellectual level, I understand why she did what she did, and I understand why the betrayal and why it affects me so much. But it's like my daily routine is just filled with reminders, whether it's a symbol that I associate with the organization that this guy belonged to, or whether it's a time that a date that's associated with a time where, you know, I knew something was going on, or whether it's just everything just seems to come back and remind me of the nightmare that I'm in.
Right, and this is Rick Tyler, and how long have you known at this point?
June 16th.
Okay. At June 16th, you're still really early in the process. I mean, typically we'll tell people that the first 6 months can get a little bit Western, and the intrusive thoughts are really bad, depending on who you are and how you function, and just how much this thing is in your face as a result of how close it is literally to your home. Those reminders that come are incredibly painful. And for most people, that process, again, depending on their own psyche, can take as long as 18 months, not 3 months and not 4 months. It is a long process. Now, usually after about 6 months, what happens is the frequency or the intensity of the pain associated with those reminders begins to decrease. However, there's typically a spike again at about 12 months because you end up with a bunch of reminders at the one-year anniversary that kind of cause the whole emotional piece to come flooding back again. Because at one level, it's not just about avoidance, but you just begin to move beyond it a little bit, but the dates begin to bring you back into the face of it again. And then typically those reminders really begin, and the power of those reminders normally begin to really decrease again over the next 6 months, until by the second anniversary there's very little kind of jolt to those reminders. But where there's a wound like the one you've got, every time you touch it, it's like there's an electrical jolt that you experience. Every time a reminder comes, you feel something very significant. And, you know, you can have, as you well know, up to 50 or 60 reminders in any given day. I mean, those things can consume you 70 to 75% of the time.
Right.
And while you don't want to avoid them, you do need to learn how to battle them. And I don't know, you know, it's interesting. One of the things that we're going to be doing in the near future, like in 2 weeks near future, we're starting some of our online courses, and I don't know if there's a way you could be a part of that, but you might find that processing through this thing for you is one of the ways you're going to begin to get beyond it. You need to kind of be with other men or other women who understand, who can talk with you about it, who can... it's almost like you've got to touch that wound 1,000 times until you discharge that capacitor to the point to where it doesn't charge back up. Again, unless there's a physiological condition that's where the trauma is causing even a more complicated problem. But at 3 months, I'm not sure that you're out of line with kind of what you're experiencing.
Well, that's encouraging to hear. I've gone to a counselor just a couple times so far. I mean, it took me this long just to get to, you know, I wanted to just work through this and deal with it on my own, and it just wasn't possible. But You know, the fact that you made reference to touching a wound, I mean, that's kind of how I explained it to my wife, I know, several weeks ago, that I know I'm healed when I can touch that and I can go there and it doesn't hurt me so much. But it just, I don't know, I feel like I'm on life support right now. You know, I'm being asked to get up and start walking, and I'm laying on a bed on life support, and it's like, I'm not ready for moving beyond this right now. But I go back to my original question. If 18, 24 months from now, something comes up and I'm reacting or responding to it, is that PTSD then? Is that the point where I've sort of need to start looking for new methods of healing?
Well, if you're still struggling, not just 18 to 24 months from now, if you're struggling 6 months from now, I think we've got something else we need to begin to focus on. I don't think you need to wait that long. I mean, I think that coming up with some other things to help you kind of process through this thing, other ways of looking at it. Now, I just think you're going to probably have to do some of the work, just some extra work to begin to move beyond it.
Yeah. Tyler, have you listened to any of the archives on the website?
No, this is my wife and I, actually, after a disagreement of sorts last night, got online, and she was the one that discovered this website. And it's, you know, I think it's been a blessing. It certainly was an answer to prayer for me last night, because one of the seminars that was talked there was something we were looking at, interested in, but we've got 5 kids, and, you know, it's not easy just to pick up and fly out somewhere for a weekend. The online thing is something we're looking at now, the study. But, again, you know, and the fact that I'm going to be overseas shortly, in a couple of months, 3-4 months, I guess, makes it a little more problematic.
Well, actually, the reason we've been excited, we've been talking a lot to the military, and one of the advantages, Tyler, about the online thing is you can be overseas and she can be here, and you can still be doing it if you have some sort of access. And we've got some other ways in line for military people maybe to participate, even if they don't have access. So I certainly think that that may still be a possibility for you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I think there are a couple of things that need to happen for you. One, your wife needs to be educated a little bit to understand why you're struggling still, so that she doesn't think that there's something wrong with you when you're really quite normal in the way you're responding mm-hmm. here, because there's nothing wrong with you, Tyler, in the way you're responding right now. And one of the things we talk about on the online course and other stuff that we do is we try to explain what those tasks of recovery really are, what those pieces you need to get over and what's normal and what's not. And right now, you're pretty normal.
Okay. I mean, that's encouraging to hear. I think I'm normal, but there's times where, in all of this, a person starts to question his own sanity. So,
well, yeah, when those intrusive thoughts are coming, it will make you wonder whether or not you're crazy or not, because it is amazingly painful, and they just come out of the blue. They can happen at a card section. They can happen when you're listening to the radio. They can happen every time the cell phone rings. They can happen when you come home, when you leave. I mean, they're all over the place.
Yeah, and I think you're absolutely right. Especially the first few months, it's starting to settle down a little bit, but the first few months seemed like 70 or 80 times a day would not be an exaggeration.
Yeah, yep. Absolutely. Yeah, it's pretty astounding.
So. Okay. Well, I appreciate that. That online course is something that I think my wife and I will look
And Tyler, I think also if you've been on the website, if you look at some of the archives from some of the previous radio shows, there'll be some stuff in there for you guys to listen to about the path for and the journey for both of you that'll kind of help normalize it some, and also hopefully give you some hope that couples make their way through this every day.
You know, and I think that hope is something that's very important right now. I mean, my wife and I both have, looked at it, with our kids. We both want to make this work, but at the same time, there's been many a morning where I've woken up and many an evening where I've gone to bed that I just don't see it happening, but I'm still hanging on to that hope. And I think my wife is doing a lot of the right things. I think she's, in fact, doing a lot more of the right things at this point than I am, but... Well, every journey begins with the first step.
Yeah, exactly. right.
Yeah.
And I applaud your willingness to go, talk to a therapist and just, I know that takes a great deal of humility. You got to give up some of your pride, but, it's neat that you've been willing to kind of face that. So kudos to you. And we will certainly be praying for you in your recovery, Tyler, okay?
Appreciate that.
Okay.
Thanks for calling, Tyler.
God bless. Yep, and that's a prime example.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard because it's so painful. I think that it's really, for people who haven't experienced this, who have not been hurt through this process, they don't understand the amount of pain that someone like a Tyler or, the hurt spouse goes through.
Yeah, and that hurt spouse, it doesn't matter if it's male or female.
Not at all.
The path is very similar.
Right.
Yeah.
In someone like Tyler's... situation in your course, I know that what types
of things...
I feel
the bus coming again.
Oh, I'm going to throw you under the bus. I'm sorry. but what types of things, exercises and things do you recommend? Or just maybe you can explain a little bit about some of the modules and things you'll be talking about in your course.
Yeah, the course will basically start with a description of what trauma looks like, whether it's PTSD or acute stress disorder or just dealing with trauma, because we all will deal with trauma at some point. And then just there will be a lot of just exercises, some journaling stuff, and just walking through each of the symptoms, kind of helping you walk through what your symptoms are and telling yourself the truth. A lot of looking at the what we call thinking errors or cognitive distortions, and then telling yourself the truth and identifying what the feelings and the emotions are with that. so that you can begin really walking through it. There was a country and western song that was really popular about a year ago that said, if you're going through hell, you got to keep on moving and hopefully you'll get through before the devil even knows you're there, something like that. But I think that's kind of true for this, and the couples and individuals even that I work with that have tried to avoid and push this stuff away, whether, regardless of what the trauma is, but certainly in our cases, mostly with infidelity, you got to walk through it, and hopefully with a gentle, firm counselor or support group that kind of has a plan on where to go.
Do you, in your course, are you going to incorporate some biblical sorts of principles, ways that I'm fishing here?
Yes, of course.
I know you will, but I know that's a softball pitch thing. But because, I do know that Jesus plays into this. And, to me, a big piece of it is, how does Jesus walk us through this thing, because I think that he carries us through this in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. But again, like you're saying, avoiding it and not walking through the pain in the long run does not work.
Yeah, and I think that's so key to remember, is that you're not walking this alone. It's that, you and I both are huge fans of Andrew Murray's Abiding Christ and Waiting on God. I think that could be the sole purpose of having to deal with trauma, is that it draws me closer to Jesus, that I have to walk with him.
Right.
It's not a sprint. It's a walking it out.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was thinking of a case I saw a few years ago again where there was a husband who did what I called a very a hop over rather than a walking through. But I've seen a lot of people try to hop over it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, his wife had told him about her betrayal in a car coming home from church because the Holy Spirit had really convicted her of the need just to be honest with him. And by the time they got home, he had fully forgiven her. And it was never mentioned again for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
When he developed an erectile difficulty and couldn't get an erection, and said, "What happened?" And I said, "Well, in reality, there's no way to hop over that type of pain." And I really believe, and I don't know about you, that the problem with trauma that's not dealt with is that ultimately begins to kind of come out sideways,
mm-hmm.
anywhere from 5 to 10 years later. And then you've got a whole nother set of issues that you have to begin to work through if you don't deal with the trauma.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, the physiological stuff begins to happen. We just play it out in a different way.
Right. And I think it's a really, it'll mess with us in a big way.
So I have a question for you, Rick.
Okay, ask me a question.
Yeah, so tell us, you mentioned on the phone with Tyler a while ago, about the online course that's coming up. That's a new thing for us. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, the online course is really one of the things that I'm probably most excited about. It's really been one of the, as we've moved forward with the Affair Recovery Center, one of the things we've wanted to be able to do is to offer couples like Tyler or people from all over the U.S., actually all over the world, opportunity to have access to materials and actually other people as they walk through this thing. Because without, I think, other couples who have walked through it, who can really speak to the love and the love of God and how he carried them through it, I think it's really difficult to maintain hope. And the online course is really based off the model of the 12-week course we've been doing at the Affair Recovery Center since 1994. Even though we weren't called the Affair Recovery Center back then, we began working with couples. And it's about the different task that a couple needs to go through ultimately to begin to recover. And so what we've done is we put it in a format where if a couple in Des Moines, Iowa, or wherever is dealing with infidelity, what they'll do is they'll actually join one of the courses. It's a 12-week closed ended group. And each week, you'll have a video presentation that deals with the task for that particular week. You'll also have written exercises to do. And then there will be a group meeting online in a telephone conference room every week to discuss homework. Because we found that the processing of all of this material with the other couples is just a critical part of being able to heal. Without listening to other couples, it's really hard to gain perspective in your own situation. I think that all of us with our marriage, we kind of have a lens, a historical lens that is as thick as however long we've been together. You know, if we've been together 30 years like me and Stephanie, then it's a really deep lens, you know, and we see our mate in a certain way. And so it's hard to really gain perspective. But when you've got, you know, 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or other couples who are walking through the same thing, you don't have that historical lens. They're just brand new with you. And you're able to understand the dynamics and see the dynamics much easier in those other couples than you can in yourself. Plus, as they deal with this situation, they actually kind of, I think, open up new pathways, new ways for you to see this thing that maybe you never even thought of. Watching them deal with it, may sit there and trigger things in you that had never even occurred to you. And the beauty of the online course, unlike any of the other courses we offer, is it is totally anonymous. You will never most likely see these couples. You will never know their names other than whatever their names are for the group. There's no identifying information. So your anonymity is completely protected, but you still get all the benefits of being able to process with other people. And so, you know, you can be a doctor, you can be an attorney, you could be a blooming politician, but there's no personal identifying information. And in that way, it makes it very, very safe. Because one of the hardest things, I think, for couples is sometimes the shame of what's occurred, mm-hmm. and they don't want other people to know, and, oh, I'm in a small community, and if anybody finds out, and I can't even talk to a therapist, I don't even truck. And I don't want to be seen going into a therapist office. I mean, you've probably had this. I mean, I've had to go meet in some of the strangest places because people don't want to be seen in my office, you know. And this way, nobody ever sees your face and nobody ever knows who you are, but you still get to work through all of these tasks. And I think these tasks are, in fact, I don't even think, I know these mm-hmm. tasks are imperative to walk through these things. It's like what Tyler was just talking about. It's how in the world, what's normal, what's not normal? I remember once when I was a little kid, I went swimming late at night and dove into the lake and got lost underwater. And it was really strange because I didn't know if I was swimming up or down and almost drown until a friend of mine, when I didn't come back to the surface, eventually turned on a flashlight. And because I swam for the light, but follow the light, Rick.
Follow the light.
Follow the light. But the thing I think that analogy is very, very similar to what happens to somebody going through a fair recovery. Because they don't know, because you can't talk to anybody. They don't know if they're doing well, if they're not doing well, if they're going the right direction, they're not going the right direction. And ultimately, you know, the online course answers those questions. Plus, it gives you the specific task you need to do to get beyond this thing. Plus, it's a lot cheaper than doing it other ways. So, we have another caller online.
Oh, you do? Yes, we do. Hi, this is Kathy.
Hello, Kathy.
How are you?
Fine. How are you?
I'm okay. I have a question for you. You guys are talking about avoidance.
Yes, avoidance.
Okay. My husband's a sex addict. We're in 10 months, and we are at the period now where we can actually talk about his stuff without a lot of the defensiveness and a lot of the anger. And I am finding that it doesn't hurt as much after 10 months.
Right.
And I'm also
good.
Finding that within a couple of 2 or 3 days, I can go 3 days, 4 days, and kind of not really have the pain over it really anymore.
Yeehaw.
And then I kind of go, okay, stop now here. Are you avoiding this? Or are you working through this and you're at a spot, you know, where you're starting to go to the next phase? How
yeah,
can I tell?
Well, it sounds to me like you're working through it. If you guys can have a conversation, and it's not every single conversation you have, but you can have conversations about it, and nobody gets flooded, and then you can go 2 or 3 days, 4 days, and it doesn't even come into your mind really.
Yeah, what you're describing is quite normal. You're mm-hmm. getting beyond it.
It's good stuff.
But remember, in about a month or two, you're going to have a little bit of a lapse, and it may get worse again because of the 1-year anniversary, Kathy. But
okay, I'm kind of expecting that.
Well, yeah. I don't want to do self-fulfilling prophecy yeah. here, but I've watched it so many times that I just know that that's not an atypical thing.
Okay, so how do you know if you're avoiding it?
You never talk about it with your mate. You never allow yourself to think about it. Whenever it comes up in your mind, you quickly try to shift off and think about something else. And that's not what you're describing. What you're describing is y'all are actually talking about it. And if you're willing to talk about it and ask him questions, girl, you are not avoiding it. That's
okay.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes me feel better because I was really concerned about, gosh, am I avoiding this?
Nope, you're getting well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that makes me feel good.
Yeah. I mean, that's how it works. And, you know, if you've listened to some of the mentor couples and some of the hurt spouses that have been on the line, they'll talk. It doesn't hurt anymore. I mean, they can talk about it with their mate, and they just are amazed at how God has been able to heal them through this
process.
But
don't you think 10 months is a little early, though, for me not to feel the pain?
Nope.
I mean,
no.
Depends on the personality. I've got some people that move. It's very individualistic. You know, if you had a lot of ego strength and, you know, you didn't have a lot of trauma in your childhood, then you may move through it much quicker than some people who have tremendous trauma in their childhood. I remember a friend a long time ago who witnessed someone getting shot and in a classroom, and the ability to kind of deal with that really made it, you know, just the trauma or the ability, you know, needing to kind of control life was really important to that individual as a result of the trauma they'd experienced. And so if you've got a situation where there's trauma in your childhood and you're already having to control everything, mm-hmm. when things spin out of control, it's much more difficult to move beyond it than for an individual who maybe had a very normal childhood and doesn't have to have that hyper arousal going all the time where they're trying to control things. Does that make any sense? I may not have made...
I'm kind of a little lost, but...
Okay, well, I probably wasn't really clear on that. It's Sunday night. Who knows what's going on in my head here.
But it's not a normal for about 10 months for some people to say, okay, we can talk about this. Today we had a discussion about it, and he went all the way back through his story. And I noticed that through his story, the pain wasn't there to the intent that I thought it would be, and it wasn't. And it was like the pain kind of came more from myself, from me, from, you know, back to why didn't I see? You know, why? Where was I at? Why? You know, that. Then it was more about his infidelity or his relationships. And so I thought, okay, I hope I'm not avoiding this, but is this abnormal? Is it abnormal for, like, you think you've gone a week and you haven't really discussed it, and then you go, I should probably bring this up. We need to talk about this again, even if you don't really feel like talking about it?
You sound like my wife. That's how she does it.
Does she?
Oh, yeah. She'll go, we haven't talked about this in a while. Let's talk.
Okay, so that is normal too.
Oh yeah, sure. Absolutely.
Okay, well then I don't feel abnormal.
No, you're on course, girl.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I wanted to hear. Thanks, guys.
You're welcome.
Thanks for calling, Kathy.
Okay, good night.
Good night.
Good night. God bless you. You know, I was going to say the next online course, since we had Kathy call, is actually going to be beginning on the 27th of September. So if you're out there listening tonight and you think that's something that could benefit you, we would love to have you. And the nice thing is this particular course is actually being offered at a $100 discount even. It's going to be $295 for the 12 weeks, and there'll also be follow-up. So we really intend to try to provide services for people up to a year as they go through this.
Yeah. Well, that is really good, given that to come to your office and do this course, it's almost $800, right?
Yeah, actually, it's going up a little bit. It's about $1,000, so it's a lot cheaper to do it at $300 than at $1,000.
Yeah,
and plus, if you go
that
in,
is
and
great.
Do a course to boot it, or come in for an individual session to boot, or two individual sessions, it just got more expensive than that anyway. You know, so those are important things.
Yeah. Well, and we also have an EMS coming up in the next couple of weeks too. I think it's September, I don't know the dates, 21st through the 23rd. It's this next weekend.
Yeah, the EMS is going to be the 21st, 22nd, and 23rd, and we'd love to have anybody out there that, you know, is kind of at that point of crisis, or maybe just trying to get beyond it. If an extended 12-week thing doesn't work well for you, the nice thing is we offer the intensive weekend. And with the EMS, now they need to call our office at area code 512-346-9299, or you can also call at 888-5-ARC-EMS to contact us there, or you can contact us at affairrecovery.com. And I actually just got Skyped by Aaron, who reminded me that for the online course, affairrecovery.com, you can actually pay for that online now. You don't need to call. You don't need to give. Again, we don't even keep personal identifying information. So if you're interested in the online course, just join up online, and you can pay for it there with a credit card. And like I said, we'll be starting on the 27th of September for that. So when do you
think? That's pretty exciting.
It is. When's your course going to be available?
Soon.
Soon. We're
before
pushing.
The end of the year. How about that?
Yeah, we're pushing Wayne as fast as we can to get him to get his course done. He's working hard, I know.
Well, I could be working harder. I'm writing every day, so it'll be done.
I'm writing every day.
Yeah, but I'm not writing. You're writing every night.
Okay, I'm writing the night. You're writing during the day. Yeah, it's interesting. One of the things, guys, that I'm writing out there in Radio Land, hopefully you're going to begin seeing it on the website pretty soon, is reasons to stay. Reasons to stay and work on a marriage. Because we thought that that would be, for some of you who have been really ambivalent, kind of wondering whether or not it's worth staying in there. Just there's lots of, I think, naturally reasons to go, well, divorce the bum or get rid of her or whatever and get out of this thing. But finding good arguments as to why in the world you would want to let God work you through this and kind of resolve these things, those are some of the things we're beginning to write about now. Mm-hmm. So maybe you can find that helpful.
That sounds really good.
Well, and obviously, guys, as you listen to us, we're incredibly biased. We really believe there's nothing the nearness of God cannot heal. We believe that God's able to do amazing things and that his redemption power, he's able to redeem all kinds of things, marriages, but also just brokenness. If you've been traumatized by this, his power is more than sufficient to get us through this thing. And so we just like to see God be glorified as you kind of work through these things, that we have a very powerful God who's able to do incredible miracles to this day. And like we say, you know, if you don't believe in modern day miracles, all you have to do is witness couples that God is able to walk through this. And
yeah, I was going to say, just come to EMS and you will see it.
Yeah, EMS is probably one of the most exciting things.
There is nothing like it. Sounds like a shameless plug over here, but it's if you want to see a miracle, come to EMS.
Right. So, again, affairrecovery.com or area code 512-346-9299, guys, if you want to call our office. Now, next week will actually be EMS weekend, and typically we have a mentor couple tell their story on EMS weekend. So I suspect that will be the topic for next weekend, unless... we do an interview with Aaron or something. Because Aaron's going to, for those of you who are on the website, Aaron actually does all of our, she's our webmaster, and Aaron's going to be in Austin. She doesn't live in Austin. So we may actually interview Aaron if we have a chance next Sunday night. That might be kind of interesting to let some of you who are having web difficulties call up and...
we'll throw Aaron under the bus next week.
Throw Aaron under the bus and say, Aaron... well, what's wrong with my tag or whatever, you know? What's wrong with my username? But she can maybe answer questions. She can hear Aaron directly. Thank you for joining us tonight. There is nothing the nearness of God cannot heal. So God bless you guys, and we hope you have a good week.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you for joining us tonight and being a part of the newest addition to our services, Affair Recovery Radio, radio through the power of God. We'd like to invite you to go to our website, affairrecovery.com, and register for our free newsletter, as well as taking advantage of our free podcast. You will find that these resources are invaluable if you're trying to recover from some form of betrayal. We are here to help. We can also be contacted at 888-5-ARC-EMS. That's 888-5-ARC-EMS. And remember, there's nothing the nearness of God cannot heal.
Good night. God bless.
Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me?
Well, the word on the street is